Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. Thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. This is God's word to us. He loves us, and underneath are His everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking during this second week on my series of A Holy Harmony. We ended last Thursday with five principles. Number one, we need a vision of God's holiness. Two, acknowledge our helplessness. Three, ask for terms, grace. Four, renounce ourselves. And five, accept what God wants to give us. And I'd like to add number six, offer back to Him for His disposal whatever He has given to us. You know, we can't offer anything to God that He hasn't already given to us. It's like a little child who comes to Daddy and says, "Daddy, would you give me a quarter? I want to buy a present for you." Well, the little boy can't possibly buy the present for the daddy unless the daddy gives him the quarter, can he? And that's the way it is with what we offer to God. It has been given to us. We have to receive it with thanksgiving, accept it, but then we can offer it back to Him for His disposal. And that is the great principle of exchange, the principle of the cross. On the cross, Jesus gave me His life in place of His death. In other words, I received life through the death of Jesus Christ. I bring Him my sins, and He gives me His joy, His purity. I bring Him my sorrows, and He gives me His joy. I bring Him my losses, and in exchange, I receive gain, which is eternal. How do I offer back to Him for His disposal all that I am and have and do and suffer? It's a simple act of faith. I just say, "Here it is, Lord. All that I am, all that I have, all that I do, and all that I suffer is Yours. I give it to You in the name of Jesus, and I will not take it back." I have a testimony here from a man who became a Christian out of an evil lifestyle. This is what his wife wrote. "Sam has a testimony of hope that needs to be shared. The faith in God's truth for a lifestyle change is rare. People want an easy way out. They demand that God change their lusts first, but that's not God's way. Obedience is God's way. Sam married me in faith. God said, 'I have a wife for you to love, and in that love, I will show you who you are physically.' What a glorious adventure awaited us. Sam stood on the truth, not on how he felt." Now, this is the testimony of a man who is now gone to be with the Lord. But Sam was a homosexual for more than 30 years. He has a testimony of hope that needs to be shared. God completely changed his lifestyle. God gave him a wife, and as she says, "What a glorious adventure awaited us. Sam stood on the truth, not on how he felt." It's not as though God necessarily removed forever any slightest temptation in the wrong direction. We are going to be tempted, and let's never forget that Jesus himself was tempted in all points, the Bible says, as we are. But he never acted on that temptation. He resisted it. And here was a man who was completely delivered from a life of decades of homosexual activity. He stood on God's truth, not on how he felt. And he had a wonderful marriage and had two beautiful boys. I know his wife and I know those two boys. I never knew Sam. Thank God for that testimony. And now a letter from a dear friend of mine. She says, if I had written a month ago, I would have asked questions about forgiveness, about coping with injustice from fellow Christians, about appropriate indignation, seeking some loophole through which to turn from loving. A time of crushing seemed too severe, and I wanted to know the proper means of protest. Today, some answers have come, which no doubt you yourself would have given. You have in fact written about humos. That's the Greek word for the ground beneath us, which is walked upon without thought of vengeance. And this is the call to those following the Lord Jesus. Here, humos is the name of a sauce made up of ground chickpeas. She's writing from a Middle Eastern country where they eat something called humos, a sauce made up of ground chickpeas mashed beyond recognition. In the blender, I'm sure there is no petitioning to change the process. The sauce is made no other way. The peas need have no other voice. For me, the same hand that scourged purified to heal and to make me able to nourish another. The caked-on sin needed the severest scraping, and my true soul exposed beneath, that is, made in his image. My true soul virtually leaped as a child into communion with the Father, revealed as merciful in the end. Thy hand has done this, could be said in deep gratitude rather than in protest. And no words can describe the liberation. Pride can be an exhausting business. Rage chokes every avenue of giving and receiving love. I reread George MacDonald's Creation in Christ, especially the chapter, It Shall Not Be Forgiven, and Love Your Enemy. Suddenly I saw that embracing the offender was a precious privilege, not a sullen act of obedience. There is a desire to preserve the life, soul of the offender, rather than to punish, for underneath the retorts that destroy the speaker more than the hearer is an enormous amount of affection, the true self, asking for recognition and love. A lengthy, humbling time of verbal confession unleashed Christ's presence among us. Obedience removed the dragon skin that had been weighing us down for years. There was at once rest and power. Rest and power flowing from the long-avoided acts of humiliation. The life of Jesus that insists on loving is still invading our lives, still delivering us from the bondage of hate, still opening up the supernatural. One wants to run into the streets to face these people with, God is, God loves, your enemy is your brother. We have seen God's glory in his grace. Now there's a description of what forgiveness does when one person is willing to be obedient. In 2 Peter 3, he tells us about the last days. He says, this is my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Isn't it amazing to think of the grace of God waiting patiently for us to come to repentance? But, verse 10 says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. You don't know when the thief is going to come. That's the way the day of the Lord will come. You don't know when. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destructions of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, and I hope I am talking to many people who are looking forward to that, Peter says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. A holy harmony in your life. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.